When you do experience different types of trauma, it really disconnects you from your sense of self. And a lot of times, in my own personal experience, even in the people around me, I've noticed that one of the major ways that it gets impacted is, losing touch with what you really do desire in life and like your goals as well.
Hello and welcome to Ilani Talks, a podcast that aims to have conversations that are redefining self-care and love for your mental health. I'm your host, Ilani Salcedo. Listen every other Tuesday as I share my own experiences while others feature some truly wonderful guests. In these episodes, gain new ideas for self-care, mental health awareness, and the motivation to keep aligning with your life goals. This week's episode features a wellness enthusiast and British Columbia registered clinical counselor, Vinita Prasad. Listen in as she shares feeling and healing, a combination of therapy and holistic practices for women that she offers, the benefits of routines, the effects of trauma, inclusion in the wellness space, and so much more. Learn the effects holistic practices have on your well-being. Hi, Vinita. Thank you for being here with me today.
Hi, I am happy to be here.
To begin our conversation, can you share what do you do and what do you want to be known for?
Yeah, both great questions. So I am the founder of Feeling and Healing Wellness. So what I do over at Feeling and Healing is I provide healing services that are grounded in breathwork, yoga, and meditation with the goal to support women to be reconnected with their goals and desires and feel more confident in stepping into these different routes and pursuing what they've been wanting to do. And the what do you want to be known for question is so great. I feel like I kept going back and forth. I'm like, what do I want to be known for? Like, that's such a great way of putting it. But I think overall, I just want to be an example for other people, like as a young woman of color who's gone through her own, ups and downs and with, mental and emotional health and just like these weird phases and, having a lot of time put in my healing. I just want to be known as someone that regardless of everything that happened, like I was still able to stay true to myself and still be authentic to myself and not have to change anything, but just have those opportunities to let those parts of me shine. So that's what I've always wanted people to know is that you don't have to make this like fundamental change about who you are. There's nothing wrong with you. It's just about finding those tools that can support you with your overall functioning.
Right. And that's a lesson that we all, in a sense, need to learn and continuously learn, right? Because no matter how much we heal from something, we'll still be learning through different phases of our lives, different situations and things that just come up,
Exactly. And like when you're consuming different articles and different experts online, there's always this like, I'm not a big fan of like the mindset hacks or like change your life and all that. I really do believe that, at the core of who you are is really special and it's there for a reason. And, we can work with that. And you just need those extra tools for support. And like you said, your healing is ongoing.
Exactly. And in the theme of healing, what have you personally had to heal from in order to get to where you are today?
Yeah. So, looking back, I definitely dealt with a lot of self-esteem and self-worth. So just like always feeling like I'm, not enough in so many different ways. So maybe like not smart enough or not pretty enough or not capable enough or not responsible enough. So a lot of these like not enoughs that were going on in my life. And, a lot of it happened through my environment. Like when I was younger, like I was the chubby, shy kid. Like I didn't want to really, participate in sports. I didn't really like group activities made me nervous or like, big family get togethers. I really clung to the people that I knew and I was too scared to really go and like do things with other people. So what ended up happening with these feelings of low self-worth and the not enoughs, I started to get a lot of anxiety. So like not feeling equipped meant that I was always fearful of these future outcomes. And before being able to do anything, I would always just convince myself of everything that could go wrong. And then another side of that too was all the things that could go wrong was always like, I was always the source of that. Like I would always blame myself. So there's a lot of self, like negative self-talk and a lot of anxiety going on there. So with my own healing journey, it's been a lot of intentional acts of having to build my self-worth and to be more confident and to also, I wouldn't say let go of my anxiety. So that's like another thing that I like to talk about as well is mm-hmm. just embracing, you know, all parts of who you are. That anxiety is still there with me, but I've learned how to not let it impact my decisions, but just, you know, acknowledge that it's there. So I would say my first time I really addressed it was probably in my early 20s. I think that's when I started to realize that the way that I would navigate situations and my anxious thoughts were starting to affect my relationships with other people. So, you know, I loved to push people away, or with my anxiety, I would really intensify certain situations and it was a whole mess. But that's when I started to recognize when it started to impact my close relationships. So then that's the first time I went to therapy. And yeah, my first time in therapy went really well. Like I found someone that I felt safe with and I could connect with. And then so what ended up happening from there was I was just more and more curious about what it really means to heal, what it means to help yourself. So with therapy, I started to bring in other tools as well. So I really like at the current time, I love like mindfulness techniques and meditation and yoga and stuff. So I started to bring those things as well. And then I started to realize that with my healing, it wasn't just about picking that one thing like therapy and then you're healed all of a sudden. I had realized that there's multiple things that I need to be continuously doing and being consistent with it to feel more at ease and for that healing to happen. So yeah, I wouldn't say I'm at like a perfect level of healing, which I don't think anyone is. I think healing, it's a verb, right? You're always going to be healing. You're always going to be introduced to new things that are going to challenge you and you have to address. So I think now, like I said, with my anxiety, it's still there, but it's just there somewhere floating on the side. It doesn't impact my decisions as much anymore, but I can be there to acknowledge it. You know, I'm still a human being. I still have, you know, challenges with relationships, or I still might not feel confident in things that I'm doing, but I still feel like I'm able to walk into that direction instead of like canceling it altogether.
And I'm sure you being able to do it time and time again has, like you said, anxiety will always probably be there in some form, but that you've been able to kind of like massage that part of you so that it's not as like flared up, or you're able to actually move forward and make those decisions that you might not have been able to make if you didn't take these steps in order to be able to be a bit more free of it.
Yeah, I actually love how you said that, like massage it so it doesn't flare up as much. That was a perfect way to describe it. But yeah, I think the more times it happens and the more times I was open and willing to embrace it was when I could, you know, go through that action of working through it. I think before, and I know a lot of people can relate to this too, is we have this idea of negative emotions. And when you label them as negative, you already put this bad connotation in there, and then that just makes you not want to address it at all. So when you have that label and you don't want to address it, it's going to keep coming back, but you're not going to know how to like deal with it. And then you're just going to like put it in the corner. But I think being able to embrace it, being open to it, I could work through it, which made it easier the next time.
Right. And you've already mentioned a few self-care practices, but are there any constant ones that you have, aside from what you've mentioned, that you come back to in moments where you feel unbalanced?
Yeah, so for me, I find that my morning routine is very sacred. So back when I was kind of feeling in my lower states, I didn't really have much of a routine and much of a structure. So what I find for myself now is that I don't follow a structure to a T, but there's parts of my day that I like to keep similar. So my morning routine is one of them. And how this had started was I picked one thing that I was like, oh, okay, maybe I'll try this. So at that time, it was just my skincare. Mm-hmm. And I didn't do any kind of like skincare or anything before that. So for me, picking that idea of doing the skincare was something that I could go back to every morning to start my day off well. And just having those few minutes to myself and kind of just like that symbolic feeling of like, you know, cleaning your skin, putting your moisturizer, getting ready for the day. So I really enjoy my morning routine. So what I usually like to do is I have a few different things that I'll have as options. So I like to do some little bit of gratitude journaling in the morning. I like to do a little bit of a yoga flow and do a meditation. But also with that and, you know, with my healing journey in general, like I have a big part of me that talks about like self-compassion for myself. Mm-hmm. And I like to tell that to other people too. And just like giving yourself grace. So ideally, like I like to do all of those things, but realistically, there might be days where I might not be feeling up for it, or, you know, life goes a little bit in a different direction and your day might not start off how you want it to. So I try to have like a touch point of one of those things. And, you know, if it doesn't happen, then not mad at it either. And just continue on with your day and then try again the next day.
Yeah. And, you know, thankfully we do have multiple days where we're just able to either dive into the things that we've been wanting to, adjust it if needed, or just do one because the day calls for it. You know, like having those choices and really knowing what works for you and knowing yourself and being like that very mindful person, I think also goes such a long way when it comes to like the structures you have for yourself or the routines that you want to like cultivate and continue no matter what it is, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And for anyone that's listening, if you like the holistic psychologist, so Dr. Nicole LaPera, in her book, which I thought was really great when she talks about structuring a routine, mm-hmm. she mentions in there too that what you can signify as a good habit is one that if you have to step away from it, you won't shame yourself for doing so. Like you can go back to it and things will be okay. Mm. So that was a good learning piece for me. So that's something that I carry with my own routine as well.
It's such an important reminder. But in talking with holistic practices, what is a holistic wellness practice? And what does that look like for those who are interested in cultivating more of this lifestyle?
Yeah, great question. And, you know, the word holistic gets thrown out there a lot, especially in social media. And like, sometimes you're like, what does that mean? So like, truthfully, for me, when I first heard that word, I just thought it meant like, oh, like natural or something right. like that. Just because people would associate it with things like nutrition or taking your vitamins or like yoga and stuff. So I'm like, oh yeah, natural. Okay, that makes sense. So holistic, what it means to have a holistic practice is basically addressing, you know, the different parts of your life and really finding these different activities that address those parts so that you get a better, like, well-rounded experience. So for example, if anybody wants to look this up, you can either look up like a wellness wheel or like self-care components, and different resources will tell you different things, but there's usually like 5 to 8 different components that you can address in your self-care, in your healing. So some of the things that they talk about is like your physical well-being, your environmental well-being, your social well-being, emotional well-being, mental, there's professional as well. So when you look at it from that lens, and let's say you're trying to build a self-care routine, you can look at that wheel and say, okay, maybe I'll pick 3 different things that I want to focus on. So maybe environmental. So an example of environmental is taking care of the space that you sleep in. So like your bedroom, or even if you want to talk about your office space. And then social could be, you know, being intentional about hanging out with your friends. If maybe you're really busy with work and you don't connect with people that much, that could be part of your self-care. And then physical is, you know, like exercise, movement, stuff like that. So basically when you are attending to different things, that gives you a better well-rounded sense of self. And I know typically like when we are starting our self-care journey or our healing journey, we tend to navigate to one thing and one thing that seems more familiar or that's easier to do. But when we can look at it through the wheel, we can see, you know, what areas are we lacking in that we neglect? So then you can also address that as well. And yeah, I can see how that works for you.
Right. And thank you for mentioning about the word holistic, because I intentionally put like words like this sometimes for people to explain it a little bit different or kind of pull it apart a little bit more for people who aren't familiar with it or have a different kind of a definition in their own head because of whatever they've been exposed to. So thank you so much for that. Mm-hmm. But I really like how you shared the wheel, because I think the base of just having a holistic practice in general, like you mentioned, is every single part of yourself and making sure like that that's in tune with everything else, because having a self-care practice or gravitating to something and just focusing on that, that eventually does ripple into all other areas. And I think that's something that we should always be really mindful of and really aware of, because when you're doing something good for yourself in one area, it could also go into other areas as well. But then some areas could also be lacking. So it's like being self-aware is incredibly important in that as well.
Yeah, that's such a good point. Like it like it goes both ways. And mm-hmm. even like a personal example for mine is I try to avoid so finance is also part of that wheel too. I forgot to mention, but I forgot to mention because I try to avoid it as but that's one where it's a source of my anxiety. So like mm-hmm. a lot of times I'll neglect it, and it like said, it usually spills over into all my other things. But if I can give a little bit of attention to it and ease my mind about the financial things, it helps for other things like, you know, social events, mm-hmm. for example. Like I can learn to budget something that makes sense instead of being like, okay, I can't afford it altogether. Like I'm out, like, don't bother. And then I miss out on hanging out with my friends. Or I can address it and be like, okay, maybe we can do something else. I can still get that social bit in there too.
Right. The adaptability of it all, right? Mm-hmm. So in creating your own practice and coaching services through Feeling and Healing, what led you to provide these specific areas for women?
Yeah, so twofold answer. So for the meditation, yoga, and breath work, those were mm-hmm. all things that I found to be a really good benefit in my life. And one thing that I really appreciate from all of those tools is that if someone were to come to me and we were doing a session together, obviously, I love the time spent with you, but essentially, these are tools that anybody can take with them and do it on their own time. So in a way, it is very accessible, which I really like. And, you know, for anyone that's seeking, you know, healing services, the goal will always be that you can carry what you learned and apply it in your own life on your own time instead of mm-hmm. always being dependent on the person that you're seeking services from. So I really like that they are accessible and they are, you know, you can modify them in so many ways, like meditation. You could do it an hour, you can do 5 minutes, however you like. Breath work, you can modify it, yoga. So I think those are tools that I'd love to share with people that, you know, can be done on your own time. And then the reason why I wanted to incorporate that into, you know, supporting women reconnect with their goals and their desires. So kind of like I was talking about with my own life of my self-esteem and my anxiety really stopping me from stepping into things that I was interested in or I would have enjoyed, is that, you know, when you do experience different types of trauma, it really disconnects you from your sense of self. And a lot of times, you know, in my own personal experience, even in the people around me, I've noticed that one of the major ways that it gets impacted is, you know, losing touch with what you really do desire in life and like your goals as well, because these events and these experiences really, they cause you to not feel confident in doing those things, or, you know, different narratives get created. So me, for example, I really had this idea that the things that I was passionate about, or like I was even remotely interested in, I would just, you know, right away be like, you know what, actually, it's not worth it. I'm not going to be good at it. It's a waste mm-hmm. of my time. Like I should be doing other things. I can be helping other people instead, you know, or helping in the home, or, you know, starting this new program at my university or something like that. Mm-hmm. And so I really, you know, want to support other people to, you know, bridge that gap and to reconnect back with your desires and know that it is still really important to incorporate those goals in your life and those desires. So, you know, I had someone ask me with my program, they were like, oh, is this only for professional goals? Like if you want to start a business? And I was like, no, absolutely not. Because, you know, an example I like to give in my own life is that for years, I wanted to try like dance classes. And I, you know, it might seem small to some people, but like to me, it was like, oh, I wanted to just, you know, go for fun and try dance class. I thought about it for 3 years. And it was always, yeah, it was always just on my mind, but I would always talk myself out of it because I was like, I'm not going to be good like the other people that come into the class. And like, you know, it was a, the one I wanted to do was like a drop-in beginner's class, right? So that's already saying there that people are all coming in as new and, you know, not as skilled as like the other classes. But I convinced myself, like, I went through this loop, like, I'm not going to be good. It's going to be embarrassing. And because of that, I'm going to waste my money. So I'd always go through that. But those weren't logical thought processes. That was just me saying, I'm scared.
Right.
That's really all it was. So, you know, with my own healing and, you know, working through the anxiety, working through the self-esteem and stuff, I was able to realize that, you know, this is something fun that I want to do for myself. This doesn't have to be scary. So, you know, eventually I did do the dance classes and like I haven't done them since COVID started, but like I'll do some at home. But, you know, before that, just like being able to do it and actually step into that, it felt so good. So that's something that I want to share with other people too, is that through things like meditation, yoga, and breathwork, you're able to regulate your nervous system and to find that stability and that safety so that you can also, you know, feel good about doing those things. So then that's where like the coaching comes in as well. Like, like if you want to, we can talk about it. And then again, like that's another beautiful thing about yoga, breathwork, meditation, and things like that. If you don't want to talk about what's going on, technically you don't have to. And then that's your choice. Because one thing I've also noticed in doing like therapy work too is that sitting there and, you know, putting your wounds out on the table, that can also be very daunting to do and very scary. But knowing that there's other tools where you can work on your healing but not have to be kind of put on center stage there to explain yourself, I think there's something very beautiful about that as well, because that's something I factored in as well, just being like a person of color, where therapy is not really, like traditional therapy is not something that, you know, people tend to gravitate to, because, you know, talking about your problems in that way can seem really scary. But, you know, what if there's tools that we can give you where you don't have to do that, but you're still actively doing something at the same time?
Right. It's having that, I like to call it the emotional toolbox, you know, like having different things that you come back to, that sometimes it might work in therapy. And if you know, if that's what the avenue that you've taken and you've been able to do that. And sometimes what you need is something totally different. And, you know, I love that you offer breathwork, yoga, meditation, because I'm a huge advocate for all three. And I've experienced the immense mind shifts, life changes. Like it might sound cliche for other people who have heard either me speaking about it on podcast episodes or just like heard it from other people, but it's actually like phenomenal work if you really do the work with it. And yeah, like I love that you really offer that. And this kind of goes into the next question, but what mental barriers can all three things help with? And I know that you've shared a little bit more, but are there any other ways that it's also helped you?
Yeah. So kind of just like adding on to what you were talking about earlier, like especially when you've experienced trauma, and, you know, just to preface, I think everyone's experienced some sort of trauma in some form. Like, you know, we typically we think of like those bigger experiences, but, you know, I think we can all relate when, you know, something has happened in the realm of trauma. And when it comes to practices like breathwork, yoga, and meditation, because you're not kind of sitting there and talking about it, often something that doesn't get talked about a lot is that when you are doing therapy and you are talking about trauma, is that there is a chance to, as you're talking about it, in a sense, it's called like re-traumatization, where talking about it can bring up the same feelings as you were when you were experiencing it. So when you do things like, you know, yoga, breathwork, meditation, and anything kind of in that mindfulness realm, it helps you to bring that sense of safety and to, you know, regulate your nervous system, where when there is a time where you do feel comfortable talking about it, it won't, those sensations won't feel as similar as it did when the event was happening.
Right. And has your education in counseling psychology supported the space you've been able to create in addition to what you offer?
Yeah, so I'm almost done. So it's exciting. I'm finishing my master's in counseling psychology. So what I like about having that educational piece as well is that, you know, when I was doing my healing work, like therapy was one thing, and then like, you know, all my wellness practices were a different entity. Like it was never, they were never the same. And I, you know, I think the wellness industry is getting better at this, which is like really cool. I'm glad to be in this space where, you know, just recognizing that people are coming into these services more often than not because they are trying to work on their healing, or they're, you know, they're dealing with some real stuff right now. And having that knowledge from, you know, this kind of educational background really helps to have that additional piece of comfort for the person that's coming in. And, you know, I know some people might be like thinking too, like, okay, well, I don't have a degree in X, Y, and Z, but, you know, I also like to facilitate yoga and stuff like that. But it's just knowing that when people come in is how to support them. So, you know, things like relationship building, that's something that I learned through my program, or, you know, acknowledging the person when they come in, or, you know, being aware, like, okay, if someone's experiencing anxiety, how can I support them with the movement that they're doing, or how can I make them feel welcome and feel safe in these spaces as well? And yeah, and also just like being in the space of therapy and mental health is that, and, you know, this kind of speaks on the holistic healing thing, is that if I do encounter someone in one space, to be able to offer resources and have that knowledge and to bridge that gap of, okay, maybe, you know, if you are feeling anxious, or if you have low self-esteem, or if your confidence is being impacted, like, here's other ways that you can help yourself. Here's, you know, here's a podcast, here's a tool, here's like a, you know, a therapy technique as well. So I found it to be really helpful to be able to bridge the two together. And it just makes the support stronger.
Right. And I'm so glad you have been able to do that, and, you know, chose to do that as well, because, you know, so many people have different ideas of education and all of that. But I think, like you just said, it really makes it stronger for you to be able to provide what you already do and your knowledge in it, because you personally experienced it, but also to kind of put more like facts and like understand people a bit more is unlocks so much more, I'm sure.
Yeah, exactly. And like another thing too is just, you know, being the person that I am, I've realized that it's not all a one size fits all. Everyone will gravitate to different things. Like some things that some people might find as amazing might be daunting to the next person. So just having that understanding was really another thing that motivated me to put the two together, because, you know, when there's more options there, there's more ways that you can help the community as well.
Right. And I think so much of what we've spoken about, you've given a lot of advice, but is there any other ones that you could give to others who are afraid to take leaps in their personal life and or their professional situations?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that, like, when it comes to your healing, either personally or professionally, I think the best thing that you can remind yourself is that you're fully in control of how you want to go about it. So I know that, like, you know, going into therapy can sometimes be daunting, and it's like, okay, I'm going to put all this stuff out there, and then the therapist, like, who knows what they're going to do with it, right? But from the beginning, once you decide, okay, I want to, you know, try this for myself, you're fully in control. So you can do your research for therapy. A good resource, it's called Psychology Today. And basically, wherever you live in North America, you can, it's like a filter system. Like, you put in where you live and the qualities that you would want in your therapist. And then you can research them. And then that way, that can also make you feel more comfortable with the person that you're seeking your services from. And that even goes for, like, if you were doing stuff in the wellness industry, or even like coaching, if you know, doing your research and preparing, it brings that control back to you. And then also, in another sense of what control means, is that there's no timeline that you need to work on for, you know, whatever your goals are. Because, you know, a lot of the times we see, like, on Instagram, for example, like a really short, fast, like, I'm healed, I've been awakened, like, I'm on the straight and narrow. But it doesn't have to be like that. And just being open to embracing that, you know, there's going to be ups and downs, like it's not going to be linear. And that also in that you can take as much time as you want. So for example, like how we were talking about in the beginning of the session, of if sometimes where I just might not feel up for doing something in my routine, but knowing that that's okay. Kind of the same thing too with this as well. Like you might not have the tools or might not at right now be ready to, you know, attack something like once a week or do a session once a week. And that's okay. Take your time and know that each step that you are taking is in the right direction as well.
Yeah. I love how you just said that, like, sometimes maybe what you want to do isn't the right time. And I think timing is everything. And if you're really mindful of like how your body reacts, what you actually feel towards different things, I think you're able to navigate stuff a little bit better and be able to have more of that compassion for yourself, that sometimes we really need to give ourselves the grace of like not feeling up for it, but being able to do like just a quarter or even a third of something.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And I think a lot of times, especially when we're in distress, like we think where we are right now and then the end goal of where we want to be. And we forget that there's a lot of steps in the middle that we can take that are still just as impactful, still getting us in the right direction, but still within our means. So I even think about that with myself too. Like when I'm anxious about the big picture, I'm like, okay, wait a minute. But what can I just be doing right now that works but doesn't make me feel as anxious as that like final step? And I find that helps a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. How important is it for you to practice or place yourself in environments that support cultural differences? And how has it also played out in your own life that you'd like to share?
Yeah, that like great question. I think it gets placed in the forefront of every decision that I make. I think just being a person of color, I don't think you have a, not in a bad way, like don't have like a choice to kind of ignore it, because it's always going to impact your life in a certain way. So I think with, you know, studying to become a therapist and then also my own healing experiences, I definitely took inventory of what felt safe and, you know, how to be culturally accommodating as well. Mm-hmm. And just like an example, like before, there was a time where like yoga, for example, didn't feel accessible to me. Mm-hmm. And that was because like where I live, a lot of the yoga services that were out there were just meant for like that white, able body, like skinny mm-hmm. woman. And you go into the classes, like that's all you would see. And so when I would go, like I would be like, you know, the only colored person there, or the thing, oh my gosh, the just, you know, contributed to my anxiety was that when it was time to like do attendance and my name was always pronounced wrong. So even at that point, that first point of contact, I was already like, I don't want to be here. I don't like this. So having those experiences really motivates me to create spaces where people do feel welcomed and do feel safe. And I think especially in the wellness industry, like most of the practices that are, you know, that are used here are from, you know, Eastern cultures and like ancient cultures. And I think it's really important to pay respect to that and also acknowledge your place in those services and how you deliver them. And also even like the land that you're on and, you know, where you're teaching from. So, I mean, I'm by no means am I perfect with how to be culturally accommodating, but I think I'm definitely, you know, working in that direction. So with Feeling and Healing, one of my goals is to try to have different services at different price points to be accessible for everyone. I really like group activities as well. So there's going to be more of that coming this year. And just like, you know, acknowledging everyone in the room, being cognizant of, you know, different abilities. And as someone who's in that position that's leading and that's teaching, is having that awareness that you are responsible of creating these spaces that do feel safe for other people. And that is my hope for, you know, the wellness space, is taking ownership of that responsibility. I think if we all are able to do that, then we can create more spaces that feel more culturally responsive.
Right. And I think all of that is like so important because you are providing something like you are, you know what I mean? I mean, and people come to you for that sense of comfort as well. So if there's any type of discrepancies in that sense, people are going to feel it, and it might turn them off for whatever reason, for their own reasons, for their own experiences, or how you are being towards them, or what the space and the environment offers. But I'm glad that you're able to provide that for others, and you're really mindful of it. And offering that group service sounds amazing, and I hope it goes well.
Thank you.
You're welcome. To close out our conversation, can you share one book that's been able to change your perspective on whatever the topic it's about?
Yeah, absolutely. So this one I preach all the time, and anytime this has been asked to me. So the book is called What Happened to You by Dr. Bruce Perry and Oprah as well. So why I think this book is really important is that it talks about trauma in a very digestible way. I think everyone can read this and have something that resonates. So basically how the book is framed, it's like instead of talking about mental health and like trauma as if something's like fundamentally wrong with you, it just explains that, there were things that happened to you that led you to this point. And another thing that I like about the book is that it places an emphasis on community care and community healing, which I think, especially in North America, we've, started like a individualistic trend. But, even with the pandemic, like we're starting to see how much community care is needed and is important. So yeah, it's a really digestible read. It talks about a lot of things about trauma. Dr. Bruce Perry is a great person to learn from as well. And just, yeah, like really good points to take away for your own healing as well.
Yeah, I actually read that too. And
Yay.
it's so good. Like, I just love, like you said, it was very digestible, so easy to read, and the way it just talks about trauma is just so, it could be so personable, even if you don't feel like you've ever been through anything traumatic, you know? Like, I think they just did a fantastic job in really covering that. And although it's like, a few hundred pages, it's, for me, it was an easy read because it was that good.
Yes, agreed. Yeah, I like those feelings when you're reading a book and like, that moment where you're like, okay, I can actually sit here and like go through it and not feel like this is trouble. Like, I love
Yeah,
that feeling.
so good. So, where can our audience find you and learn more about what you offer?
Yeah, so you can check me out at my website, which is feelingandhealingwellness.com, or you can find me on Instagram at Feeling and Healing Well. I'm trying to add TikTok to my palette. I'm slowly working on it, but I'll get there.
Great. Thank you so much. I appreciate you, Benita, and the work that you do. And thank you so much for sharing everything you have, the advice that you've given, and so much for coming on.
Yeah, I had so much fun being here. Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in this week to Ilani Talks. Refer to the show notes for details about this episode and more. To get in touch, send a DM on Instagram at Ilani Talks. And if you enjoy this podcast, visit ilanitalks.com to sign up for the newsletter at the very bottom of the homepage. By signing up, you'll receive exclusive information that only subscribers get. Until the next one, with all my love, Ilani. Ilani Talks guest episodes are recorded through Zencastr, and all episodes are edited by Swell, the podcast audio editing service from the Wave Podcasting. Theme music is Back to Orbit by Noah Smith. Artwork for the Ilani Talks logo, created by Carissa Zeron. Want to learn more about her? Visit her work at caseanimation.com, where you can reach out about illustrations and animations inquiries.